News Talk 1400 KFRU is proud to present the KFRU Heritage Series with David Lyle. It's a one-hour perspective on the events and the people whose lives have contributed to the heritage of Boone County. Listen each Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. as we celebrate those who have become part of our history. The KFRU Heritage Series from News Talk 1400 KFRU.
We're pleased to have as our guest on this Heritage Show, Verna LaBoy. And we've had her name, as I've said many times, on our Heritage Show list. And so I'm glad that we've been able to make connections. Welcome. Thank you for agreeing to join us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm really curious because I could introduce you in other with certain titles. But if you were introducing yourself to someone and you were to say, hi, I'm Verna LaBoy. And then how would you define yourself, or how would you identify yourself past that?
More than anything, probably as a community activist. I've lived in the First Ward for about 25 years, and I love living on Worley Street. I thoroughly enjoy living in the heart of the community, close to everything. I can stand on the street and blow bubbles with my grandkids and at the cars and wave, and most folks know who I am, and folks pull over and we have conversations or join me on the front porch. So,
do you still live in the house that a Missourian article said you described as Worley Street Manor?
That's the place. That's where I hang out. It's a popular front porch.
When did you move to Columbia?
In the fall of 1989 as a social worker with Division of Family Services.
And so then when did you move to the Worley Street Manor house?
In 94.
So how, 94, it is going on almost 25 years. It's 20 plus years.
Yes.
What have you seen around you that's changed? What's the flavor of that area now as compared to 20 years ago?
Well, I have to say it's improved. When we moved, I'm a mother. My husband and I have 5 children and 18 grandchildren. So when we moved there with the kids, the house was full, and that was a challenging area to raise children, to say the least. That was back in the days of community policing, and I started a neighborhood association as a result of some bad elements and activities that were going on around Worley Street. Smithton Valley neighborhood was birthed out of angst with the neighborhood, and so thus began my community activism work, only because I cared probably more so for my beautiful daughters than anything. I have 3 drop-dead gorgeous girls, and they garnered the attention of a lot of the negative elements. So I'm like, okay, well, I bought the house. It's in the wrong neighborhood, but we're going to make it the right one.
A lot of people would say Worley Street is a street that they just pass through on. It is a east-west corridor.
Absolutely.
If you don't want to get on the interstate, if you're not going to get on that portion of Stadium or Broadway, head north a couple of blocks and you'll go across on Worley Street. So they wouldn't see a neighborhood there.
Right.
So what do you tell them that they are missing now?
Well, I don't know my neighbors like I used to. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not as engaged in neighborhood activity. And when I stopped taking the lead in much of the neighborhood activism work, it died. But it's very transient, I would say, because the elders have moved on to either passed on or moved to nursing homes, or they live with their children now. So it's a lot of rental property. Mm-hmm. It's few and far between the homeowners. And what I've noticed is folks just don't talk to their neighbors anymore. You don't know who your neighbors are, or they just don't take the time to sit outside anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm just an old-fashioned country girl out of Marion County, Missouri, from Northeast Missouri. And I have old school values. I like saying hi to my neighbors. I will cross the street and introduce myself to folks that are new to the neighborhood. Let them know what my expectations are, because I'm Ms. Verna, okay? Motivated, inspired. tired and zealous.
M-I-Z.
M-I-Z.
Oh, so many things I want to follow up on that. I want to follow up on where you when you started thinking of yourself as the Ms. Verna. But let me go back to something else you said before I forget. You mentioned that 20 or some years ago, there was community policing in that area.
Yes.
That's a huge conversation that right now in 2017.
I miss it.
So what was it like then? Because are you thinking, and you say you miss it, so you would like to see a return to that kind of
Absolutely.
Situation?
I knew all the cops on the force back then. Zim Schwartz, Fontella, Henry, Chris Kell. I mean, there were just so many of the officers that came that helped me in the neighborhood. They helped me with forming the neighborhood association. They knew my struggle. They taught us how to fight crime. I would take to the streets with all the neighbors and they would escort me while I would carry signs reclaiming the neighborhood, embarrassing the heck out of my kids. You know, they would beg me, Mom, please stop. You're causing us problems. Everyone thinks we're snitches. And I'm like, good. Maybe they won't do some things around you, you know. So, I mean, the officers would take breaks on my front porch and we would sit and talk. So everyone knew, we knew each other. Today, if I say hi to a police officer, they might pull me over. I'm serious because it's happened to me. You know, my kids would, you know, I'd wave to a cop and my kid, Mom, leave the cops alone. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to teach them to be proactive and they're here for us. And I'll be daggone if I didn't get pulled over. And then my kids are in the back laughing at me. You know, we told you to leave the cops alone. So
they just misunderstood what your wave meant or what?
No, I don't know. They really, they said I had a license plate off on the front of my vehicle. I was like, dang it, I shouldn't have spoke to you, you know. So I don't know. I'm here to try to support. I know their job is very tough, but I just don't have the relationship with them. They don't know me. All the cops are rookies, you know, and they're really not interested in getting to know who Miss Verna is. So the culture of this new generation of law enforcement is much different than what I'm accustomed to. And here I'm probably one of the best allies they could have in town, especially in Central Columbia. But they don't look for me. They don't look to have those type of relationships. They don't want to know me. And that really bothers me.
If we went back to sort of a community policing theme, though, maybe they would be understand who they are. They would understand the neighborhood.
Yes. And I think it's real important if they want to solve crimes, if we want to keep our community safe, they can't do it by themselves.
Right.
They need us. They need the people that we need to, we must work together.
Did you ever fear for your safety or your family's safety when you were being an activist?
And no, I guess I'm full of naivete on some level. I just figured that I had as much power as the cops, you know. I just had attitude that could slay somebody, you know. So
so how do you come to a community with that? How do you develop that? Because, well, let me go back to, I'll start with a different question. Had you much contact with Columbia prior to moving here in the late 80s?
I never knew a soul. I couldn't get to work without a map. I couldn't go to my kids' schools without a map. And that was before the cell phones and all that. I mean, I was lost in this community. But I just got busy. I showed, you know, where my kids were, I was involved. I planted myself, you know, in PTA meetings.
Where'd they go to school?
Rockbridge Elementary. Lee School. That was before I moved to Central Columbia. I was in the south part of town because I was told I didn't want to live near the people that I served. Well, that was a bunch of bull because I rented a house in the south part of town when it was dark. And when the sun rose, I was surrounded by folks in my caseload, Section 8 folks. So, you know, I just bloom where I'm planted. So mm-hmm. I just kind of ran the neighborhood. They thought I was the manager of the neighborhood because where there were rocks and dirt, I planted flowers and made it a beautiful place. The manager of the little community had broken down boats and wash machines in his front yard. My front yard was full of flowers and shrubs and was manicured. And, you know, I ran the neighborhood. They called, that's when they started calling me Ms. Verna, because I would tell them, it's not what you call me, because they were calling me some names that were very disrespectful. And I said, well, baby, if you want to eat on time this month, I suspect you start calling me Ms.
And this was in Worley? Was this the Worley?
No, this was the south part of town. That's where the Miz started, because I met the most disrespectful children on the planet in my neighborhood. And so I would, every Monday, there used to be a skating rink on Paris Road years ago, and I'd love to roller skate. And so I would just fill up my van with kids who were respectful, and I would take them roller skating. Mm. I would pay their way in, you know. And then I had, when I was planting flowers in the neighborhood, I would hire the baddest kids in the neighborhood to police my flower beds, you know. And I would come home and they would run to me and tell me who touched my flowers, and I'd give them a quarter. So I was the neighborhood mom. There wasn't a store or gas station near our neighborhood out there off Old Plank Road. So I became the candy store. I would go to Sam's and Walmart and get tons of goodies. And the kitchen was the neighbor. Only respectful kids who called me Ms. Verna could shop in my kitchen, you know.
So they learned that, and then did kids start being respectful around you?
Absolutely, because they wanted to go roller skating on Monday nights out here on Paris Road. I didn't just drop my kids off. I put the skates on and showed them how to do it.
Gosh, that's 28 years. How long did you live out south?
Oh, I lived out there from 89 to 94.
So the 5 years out there.
Yeah.
Do you, this is a far-fetched question, any contact still with any of those kids?
Absolutely.
They're adults now, their parents themselves.
Their parents themselves, and they introduced their children to me. This is Miss Verna. They still call me Miss Verna. Yeah, it's such a joy to still have that connection with many of those kids, because there were a lot of kids that were, there were three or four foster homes out there. And so, and then I was also a caseworker with Division of Family Services. So I knew all those families. I'd see them in the office, mm-hmm. and they'd get eye contact with me at the office and get petrified, you know. So they kind of knew at home they were going to have to, you know, walk a little differently, because they had a caseworker, a social worker in their midst, and they were just, they probably couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it either, but hey.
Do you know how much you were missed once you moved from there?
Oh, absolutely, because I would ride by there just to see how my flowers were doing, and I would just watch the neighborhood deteriorate, because no one had the passion or the desire. I'm one of those persons, my DNA, I'm just wired this way to bloom where I'm planted. You know, you can throw me in a pit, but I'm going to make it one beautiful pit. I mean, the house we bought on Worley Street had sat on the market for years, and it was just deteriorating. The basement was caving in. I mean, it was just a dump, but it had a lot of potential. So we moved in with our five kids and took the roof off the mother, you know, literally put a new roof on it, lifted it, and put new basement walls. And my husband and father-in-law, my husband's from a tiny island in the Caribbean and probably one of the most popular cooks in this city. He's been cooking at Murray's for almost all the years we've been together. And he's learned on the job, so to speak. And he brought his father in from Puerto Rico, and they would get on the scaffolding and scrape the paint. No one has ever painted that house, but my father-in-law and my husband. We love being living in that house and you know, doing all the work ourselves. So the community has watched us sweat and make that house beautiful. We don't have a lawn service. We're the lawn service.
We need to take a break and we'll come back. We're visiting with Verna LaBoy, and she is our guest this Heritage Show. This is Newstalk 1400 KFRU.
This is the KFRU Heritage Series. More coming up on Newstalk 1400 KFRU. This is the KFRU Heritage Series, celebrating people and events that have helped shape Columbia and Boone County.
Hope you're enjoying our visit this morning and this evening with Verna LaBoy on our Heritage Show on KFRU. And we planted you, actually you planted yourself pretty strongly in the community. Were you as energetic and, again, Ms. Verna, motivated, inspired, and zealous? Were you that way pre-Columbia days?
I think so, because I'm a former Girl Scout and a former Girl Scout leader. In Hannibal, I had a troop for quite a few years of 16 girls at a Field Elementary. My oldest daughter needed to be in Girl Scouts. I thought it was very important. Because I grew up in public housing, and I went to St. Pat's with Miss Johnson. She was my Girl Scout leader, gave me my escape, to camps and, overnight camping experience. Girl Scouts opened up a world for me that I would have never been able to walk in had it not been for Girl Scouts. So for me, every little girl should be a Girl Scout.
That scout leader, obviously a big influence at that point in your life. Who are the other influences in your life?
You know, I would have to say Mama Jean has been a big influence in my life. I met her at the dentist office. I was taking care of my grandparents in Hannibal. My grandfather had had a stroke prior to the year my grandmother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I have such an intimate relationship with my grandmother specifically that I quit college. And at that time, I mean, I'm a former teen mom. My mom took my daughter and I came to Missouri to take care of her parents. And I had to go to the dentist and I met this receptionist, Jean Dean, a beautiful white lady with red hair. And I don't know what the attraction was, but she took me home like a stray cat. And we have a bond today. Today she's in a nursing home. She's mid-90s, but she still remembers me because I'm the only one on the planet that calls her Mama Jean. And they treated me. Her husband worked for Department of Transportation for years, traveled across the state. When I relocated to Columbia, they would come check on me like I was really their daughter. And she was, I would look at them and pass judgment and think they were just racist white people. But she was so disarming. I mean, she poured into me in where race was never a factor, and it really influenced my healed a lot of places inside of me. I don't know how to. I've never really talked about this. You kind of caught me off guard. I've never really shared this with anybody. I'm feeling all kinds of emotions because for me, maybe before I thought all white people hated black people. And so, I was bussed out of the projects, the inner city of Peoria, Illinois, into a community that I knew nothing about, never knew existed. No one prepared me on how to speak, how to carry myself, how to fit in, how to walk the halls, how to form relationships with people who could care less if I was even there. But I had to get an education there. So that taught me a lot too. But having a relationship with Jean Dean, Mama Jean, just healed a lot of, answered a lot of questions for me and healed a lot of wounds for me.
How long did it take you to feel like she was a person of a different race who cared for you, though?
Oh, was it almost instantly.
Really?
It was magical. It was a divine appointment. It was almost like she was my angel. She loved me. She believed in me. She was just amazed that I was such a young woman coming to carry such a big responsibility with taking care of my grandparents. So she was my cheerleader. She was my support. She was my encouragement.
I have heard pastors, and I've heard pastors recently talk about how we, any of us, need to look for the moments in life when we might have an opportunity to do something special for other people. And I'm not saying this very well, but I'm hearing what you're saying is that Mama Jean was aware of that and made that connection because she was open for that connection. And so what you're saying is very much, I think, what we hear regularly, but sadly, you do it. I don't do it. A lot of us don't do it, but thank goodness there are some that do it. The difference between you being a mom who was struggling and maybe gave up on your kids and was an absent mom, and maybe a mom who you saw too many of when you lived in the south part of Colombia, and being who you are, is the impact of people who cared to influence your life. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I catch people at the mailbox or I catch them by themselves. There were a couple of kids in the neighborhood who used to terrorize my kids when we lived out in the south part of town. I'd have them in the backyard swimming pool, having a good time, minding their own business, playing with each other, you know, splashing in the water. And these two white kids would come over and tell them what kind of niggers they were, you know. And that communication, my kids never heard. And so I would catch those boys by themselves and pull out my credentials as a state employee. I said, I know you, I know your family gets food stamps. Do you look at me when I'm talking to you? If you want to eat on time, you will stop harassing my kids. Otherwise, things are going to disappear, and I'm going to deny we ever had this conversation. Do you understand me? And that's how I got the threats and the name calling to stop. I don't like operating that way. But I knew talking to their parents wouldn't get anywhere because they had the biggest Confederate flag on their living room wall that I ever seen in my life.
I'm thinking of what you were talking about with Mama Jean, and then I hear that story. You read people and what is needed to be done pretty well. I want to refer to something that I found, which was from, I guess, The Crossing. Were you associated with The Crossing at all?
I have so many friends all over this city. So,
well, this was something about a young woman who sounded to me like how you sounded early in your life. She said in this particular blog, then I met Miss Verna. She said, this first name of this young lady is Latasha, said
yes.
Emotionally, Miss Verna loved on me. I was never taught how to be a proper lady, but no matter what I said or what I did, she didn't look down on me or tell me you shouldn't do that. She just instructed me and loved me. She was like a mother. Talking about a Bible study I think you were involved in, and she taught us women how to be friends. She said women shouldn't be catting and fighting, but we should be friends. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you were to her, in a way, what Mama Jean was to you.
Well, many women call me Mama Verna now. Well, I have to tell you, at Worley Street Manor, my husband is so patient and so kind. I know my husband has wings because he married me, and I'm a wild woman. You know, he never knows who I'm going to be when I get up. He's just, you know, because my background music is I'm every woman. It's all in me. Yeah, that's my background music you hear playing when I walk in the room.
Somebody said something about you being a good singer, and I wasn't sure whether you would do that for us or not. But yes, definitely you do.
But I opened up my home and with my husband's blessing for almost 4 years, and I called it Ladies Night Out at Worley Street Manor. It was Thursday nights, and I just went door to door in my neighborhood inviting the women to my house, and it was for a Bible study. I have no hidden agenda. You know, it was no secret. You know, I'm a Christian, and it helped me, it healed me, and I just figured that it would help somebody else. Well, it started out with a couple of women, and then before you know it, my house was so packed. In the wintertime, we had to open up the front door and the back door. I couldn't get another body in there. We were sweating. Huh. And for the first year, I had to have a baby shower every month because the women were coming in pregnant. And so I found one of my neighbors who was an incredible cake baker and decorator. So we would have let me remind you, I'm married to one of the most popular cooks in this city. And we didn't have tuna fish sandwiches, honey. We had a full-blown first-class baby shower with frappe. You know, they were like, what's frappe? You know, so I would go, you know, I have all the supplies because my husband likes all the good stuff at home. You know, the best knives, the best, you know, of kitchen appliances and utensils. And so I would just put on my apron, light the candles. My husband Gil is his name, would help me prepare a feast, a banquet. And then he would leave. I said, honey, you got to go. This is ladies only. So I sent him to do ceramics at the mud room or somewhere downtown. And when he got there, he said it was ladies night. He said, but the ladies let him stay and paint. You know, I knew he always wanted to do that. So we would have diapers and wipe showers for a year. Every month I had someone. And I would tell the women to get together and with a buddy and, you know, get some diapers and wipes. You don't have to do it all yourself. They would fill my house with diapers and wipes so much so that usually they didn't have to buy diapers or wipes for a year. It's amazing. That happened every month. Mm-hmm. We showered the women. And the group got so big that I called on Calvary Baptist and Love Inc. was just getting started. Jane Williams is a friend of mine. So we had a meeting along with Lorenzo Lawson at that time. And we started a group called Living Large. A program is what we started with Love Inc. And that way the women could bring their boyfriends, their husbands, their baby daddies or whoever, because they needed support beyond the Bible studies that I was able to share with them. They needed life skills. They needed to know how to job hunt. They needed to know how to raise their kids. They need to know how to cook. My goodness. They don't know what to do in the kitchen. Half the stuff I was bringing in there, you know, you can push fruits and vegetables, but if they don't know what to do with it, if it's not opening up a can or, you know, bringing something out of the freezer and throwing in the microwave for 2 minutes, I mean, that's not cooking. So for about 3 or 4 years, Calvary Baptist and Love Inc. took that from my house and started Living Large. And so I've been able to birth many initiatives out of Worley Street Manor. That is a special place to me.
What was the time period for that? How recent was that?
Oh, gosh. That was probably in the 90s.
Wow.
I don't remember. I've done so many initiatives. They start to all run together. Mm-hmm. You know, I started a neighborhood association, which was one of the largest in the city as far as density. And I was hoping to get people to say, we don't want to be a part of this. We want to start a little community over there. But they let me carry that for years. And then we did it, the boundaries, and started Worley Street Park Neighborhood Association. So
I'll ask you the question that I asked you about some of the kids that were in that southern neighborhood, southern part of Columbia. Do you still have contact with some of those young women now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Latasha is one of my babies. I have, and you know, I had sign-in sheets. I don't know why I did it. It was just at my house. There were over 500 different women who have sat in my living room, have been in my house, and nothing came up missing because they came from a Cambridge Center. They came from Reality House. Because of my connection with the church, they were able to get released and allowed to come to my home. So I never missed a pill, an aspirin, or I didn't lock nothing down. I didn't put nothing away. When they came in the house, I always had an apron on. The candle, the sconces were lit. The soft music was playing because I wanted it to be a total sensory experience. I wanted the ladies to experience love and class and appreciation in a way that they had never experienced before. I don't have a whole lot, but I know how to make a dollar scream and holler. I know how to put some flour and, you know, some seasonings together and make a gravy, make a baby smack his mama. I'm telling you, I know what to do in the kitchen. So we just made magic happen every Thursday. And yes, those women, I'm still connected to. I still see them in the grocery store. And the biggest smile, because it's a heart relationship, you know, it's not hard when you allow yourself to share your heart like that. I feel so rich, even though my bank account doesn't reflect that. But I am so rich because I have so many wonderful relationships in this community.
We need to take a break. That's our last one, and we'll come back one more segment to go. Verna LaBoye is our guest. It's the Heritage Show. This is KFRU.
This is the KFRU Heritage Series. More coming up on News Talk 1400, KFRU. This is the KFRU Heritage Series, celebrating people and events that have helped shape Columbia and Boone County.
We're visiting with Verna LaBoye. She's our guest on this Heritage Show, and what a good guest you have been. I may run out of time here before this is done, but you're the first guest that has sung on the Heritage Show, so that was terrific. And I've just been, John Duncan is our producer, and he is the one who came up with the idea for the Heritage Show and its origin several years ago. But, John, I'm looking at you right now. I'm learning and being impacted a lot by Verna's conversation and her, I'd almost call it a testimony today because that's kind of what it is. And I don't think that's foreign language to you, is it?
Oh, no.
How do you recharge? How do you get recharged?
I plant flowers. I plant flowers. I garden. Every Saturday morning I look forward to because it's a date with my husband. We'll go. I'll let him choose the restaurant, even though I eat a lot differently. Because since I got this job with the health department as a health educator, I've lost 35 pounds. But I recharge by spending time with my husband, and I listen. I don't talk much. I just listen. I married my best friend, and what he thinks and what he says and what he feels is very important to me. And he helps me take care of my mother. My mother has been living with us for 5 years. And so I don't have a lot of private time. But we get away. We like to travel. I'm a weekend warrior. I mean, we will hop on a plane and be on the island in, you know, a few hours. So that's how we recharge. We take care of each other. And he allows me to do my work in the community.
Who are some of the other persons in this community, maybe in your first 10 or 15 years here? You mentioned someone who was important to you in Hannibal, but are there other persons in this community who are the influences of your life or the heroes of your Columbia experience? Just curious.
Well, I've watched women. I've worked along some pretty incredible women that have been an influence. And Pam Ingram with Granny's House, her husband Ellis, and the way they give to children who could never pay them back. Mm-hmm. I've watched them. Jane Williams, who is a very intimate friend of mine. I remember when she was a social worker, I think, at Boone Hospital back in the years when I was at Division of Family Services, I think is when I first met Jane. But then her and Pam were going around knocking on doors, offering free prayer to people, complete strangers, and thus was birthed Granny's House. They were just loving on people kind of extravagantly, and I was attracted to that. But as far as having a person like Mama Jean here, I haven't found that person. I've had to grow up and be that person.
Yeah, you are that person. I think I feel that very obviously. When you think of the time, this is again, and I told you, and you're fine with this, we don't do anything chronological, or it doesn't probably make good sense as to how we do our program here. You were talking about involvement in the schools while your children were in the schools. What sticks out in your mind about that side of Columbia?
Okay, I'd love to tell you about this. My first encounter with PTA out there was when the Walton, Nancy was, her kids went to school with my kids, you know, the rich kids. And I was invited to be involved in the PTA. Hap Hairston was the principal out
I know him.
Out there then. And they wanted my involvement, and they invited me to join the PTA. Well, none of the women paid me any attention. They never invited me to be on any committees or anything, but and I felt kind of out of place, like I didn't belong. I mean, her diamonds were so big, they blinded me, you know, and thus blinded the other moms that were in the room because I wasn't there. And so, but I kept showing up, even though I was just going to meetings. And I would, you know, show up at the school. That's how I spent my vacation when I was raising my kids. I couldn't afford to go on vacation on my social worker salary. So we would do things like just go across town and rent a hotel room and pack up the van like we were out of town and spend the weekend swimming at the pool and going to Aldi's and getting hot dogs and buns and chips. But I did that for about a year. And then the next year I went to the first meeting when they elected officers and the heads of all committees, and I got enough gumption to raise my hand, and I was in charge of picture day. I mean, I volunteered. So if they wanted that picture day to be successful, they were going to have to get to know me and assist me and work with me and be on the team. So that's how I just face my fear and do things anyway. You know, I just coach myself. That's what I've done. I would get on the phone. I'd talk to Mama Jean. I would tell her about the experiences I was having here. And she would tell me how magnificent I was and how wonderful I was. And I was smarter than the average person in the room. And I needed to just step. So she was fanning the fire. And then, oh, let me tell you, I met a realtor who sold me my house, a Remax realtor who sold me my house on Worley Street, Judy Hunter. She's a retired realtor now, but Judy Hunter is a friend who we fell in love. She was my real estate agent, and then she became one of my, I call them sister friends. There's a group of women that we used to do a lot of things together. Judy and her husband Orville owned a vacation home at the lake. And she would give me the keys to her kingdom for me to take all my kids, five kids, when they weren't using it, to go vacation and have at the food in the refrigerator and have at all the supplies, because it was very well stocked. Like, we owned the place. My kids to this day will never forget their weekends at the lake Thank you, Judy and Orville Hunter. They're still in the community today, retired.
We're almost out of time. Let me ask you this. What's your projects now? What is energizing you, motivating, inspiring, and causing you to be zealous now?
Well, the city, I have to give it up to the city of Columbia. There's some things they do right. I know they've got their critics. But they wrote a grant, the health department wrote a grant to address health disparity in the Black community through the Black church setting. And they received the funding from the Boone County Commission. And it's called, it's a Live Well initiative. Mm-hmm. And my piece is Live Well by Faith. So I'm setting up health ministries across the city in the Black church communities. Diabetes, self-management, chronic disease self-management, Weight Watchers, Shazzy fitness workout groups, Cooking Matters, learning how to cook meals, healthy meals on a budget, smoking cessation. So that I get, they give me a paycheck for this, you know, and this is incredible. I'm on a short leash, so it's a 2-year grant. We're hoping that we produce the right outcomes, the numbers, so that maybe the Boone County Commission, if you're out there listening, Boone County Commission, you need to fund this again when it comes up, okay? You need to keep Verna busy in the community making a difference. And then in my spare time, our family out of Worley Street Manor birthed Worley Street Roundtable, where we're partnering with the Columbia Public Schools to really deal with, address the disparity in the education arena with families and poverty that aren't, for whatever reason, doing well, and teaching them how to build their own villages. And then I have Dr. Clifton, who is the president of Worley Street Roundtable, and Nicole Magruder is on the board. She is my oldest daughter and the Diversity Awareness Partnership Manager. So Adrian has a postdoc position in the Department of Education. And what Dr. Clifton does is she's educating pre-service teachers. And we have David Aguayo, who is vice president. He's a researcher in the Department of Education. And Doris Luttrell, who's a retired professor from the university, is on the board. And Ellis Ingram, who's a retired pathologist, is on the board. So we have all these smart people I hang out with doing this great work in the community. We want all children to be successful in our public school system. And we want to not only support teachers, but support families. So we've worked with Steepleman to bring back a minority grow your own type program. And Monica Naylor brought her out of retirement to run this program in the summer called Education X, EdX, Education Exploration, where we're growing our own brown teacher stock. And we give them a part-time job in the summer school program. They get paid $10 an hour. Last year we had 10 students. This year we have 20. And with hopes that they will pursue education as a career. And there's scholarships available for them at our institutions. Mizzou, Stevens, Columbia College is on board with us. They graduate, get their teacher certification, they're guaranteed a job here with Columbia Public Schools. So that's all the work I'm doing today. That's all.
You have shown us why you are Ms. Verna. Motivated, inspired, and zealous. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to hear your story and talk about your story on our program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Verna LaBoy, our guest. This is the Heritage Show on KFRU.
You've been listening to the KFRU Heritage Series, celebrating our history and heritage of Columbia and Boone County. Listen each Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. The KFRU Heritage Series. From News Talk 1400, KFRU, Columbia.